I just want to create some parameters for our time together to create comfort and comfortableness with all of us. So it's really important that, and did we find out what happened with Teresa as far as Teresa being on camera?
I sent her an invite. I actually sent Pooja an invite as well. So,
oh, okay.
Thank
and
you.
I still see two of you, Jenny.
Okay. Okay, so let's see if we can get everybody on camera. Okay, so it's really important because this is, we're going to get to know each other through this work. And we're going to feel, we're going to support, be able to support each other through this work. And it will, and I want us to create as much as possible a focus so that there's no distractions and no interruptions. Please turn your cell phone off, put it away, preferably leave it in the other room. Turn it over so you're not looking at any text messages that come in. I want to ask you to give your 100% undivided attention. I swear to God, I've seen this in Zoom classes before. No brushing your teeth, no eating, no drink water, that's fine, but no multitasking. You're in class. You wouldn't do that if you were sitting in a classroom together. So we really are in a classroom together. So I really want to ask you to respect and support that, that we don't do any multitasking, that you give your 100% attention to everybody who's sharing while we're here together. We will take a short break halfway through. And I want to talk for a minute about the policy agreement because I know there were some people who had questions about it. And I want to just address a couple of things that I'm going to be changing the policy agreement because what we have found out is that really the kind of sharing and disclosure that many of you are wanting to do and open to doing on in this class is very vulnerable and self-revealing, and I want to create as much safety as possible. So just so you know, what is recorded here will only be shared with this group, whoever is registered in the class. It will not be shared for future classes unless I expressly ask you specifically for your permission to use some clip, and then you can say yes or no. That's okay. Is that clear and good for everybody? That's good news. It's not what you signed off on. I'm aware of that. And but that's because I really want to encourage you to use this as a learning and growth opportunity, as to maximize it as much as possible. Okay, so I want to just go through some group agreements before we introduce each other and meet each other. And so these are the group agreements that I'm going to ask of all of us. I'd like you to speak the truth and use I language and what speak the truth of your own experience. So what that means is when you talk about an experience that you've had, that you say, well, I felt really upset when this person did dot, 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 you know, whatever that was, when this person yelled at me or when this person, you know, confronted me, I felt really upset by that, rather than, you know how it feels when somebody tells you off and you know you didn't do anything wrong and you know what that's like? That's you language, okay? And I'm going to ask us to use I language. What it's like for me when that happens is this, okay? Clear? Yes? Head nods are appreciated, so thank you. Okay. Remember to breathe. So can we all take a deep breath? And exhale. Okay, big sigh of relief. So you're gonna hear me. Thank you. There's Janine. You're gonna hear me, you know, using that B word, the breathe word a lot. Every time you hear it, please let your body know, okay, that's your cue to breathe. Take a deep breath. So breathing moves the energy, I'm gonna ask you to not lock your doors, create a safe space so that there are no interruptions. Don't pet your dog or your animals or do anything that distracts your focus. Listen deeply to each other. Everybody has something that you can learn from that you will relate to, that may touch something in you or spark an idea or a thought or a learning for you. So listen deeply to each other's sharings. If you hear your judgmental mind going crazy, which it probably already is, just set it on the shelf and say, hello, I'm gonna get to you later on. Hi, judgments, I hear you, it's okay. You can sit over here for a little bit. Okay, so if people have deep things that they share, personal things, emotional things, just breathe and hold the intensity and know it's okay to just hold the intensity of that. Welcome diversity. You may not agree with other people's thoughts or opinions or what they have to say. That's okay. Diversity is okay. You don't have to change your beliefs to believe in mine or anybody else's. Okay, respect confidentiality. Let me say what that means. Confidentiality means that this is a confidential group. You don't get to go after class and go, hey, I met this amazing person. Their name is such and such. And they said, blah, 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 blah. That is not okay. What is okay is to share anything you want with people that you would like to about your own experience. There's Ritu from India. Yay. Hi, Ritu. Thank you for joining us. You may share anything you want about your personal experience. So this is extremely important for group safety, to respect confidentiality. The more that we can hold the integrity of that, the deeper everybody will feel that they can go in their own self-exploration. Group unity. Those of you who are familiar with 12-step work know this slogan, group unity. We honor first before our individual growth, so that we get the most individual growth possible. And be notice reactivity. If somebody shares something that triggers you, that you feel like upset about, or just notice it and remember to breathe. Notice your reactivity. Notice other people's reactivity. Set judgments on the shelf. Reactivity is just energy in movement. You know me. Can we all say that out loud? Reactivity is just energy in movement. You're on mute, but say it out loud to yourself. Reactivity is just energy in movement. I don't see any lips moving. We're going to do that one more time. Reactivity is just energy in movement. Okay, thank you for humoring me there. All right, be respectful of the mystery of the group. There's something bigger than us that happens when a group comes together that is informing the group dynamic. I always feel it. I feel it now. I got goosebumps even saying it. Is everybody willing to agree to these group policies? Put up your hand. I need to see all hands on deck. Keep your hands up till I see everybody. Ritu, I don't see your hand. Can you hear us? I don't know if she can hear. There we go. Okay, Ritu. Thank you. Pooja, I can see your virtual hand. Did we ever find out, Teresa, what's going on for her? Lynn, do we know what's happening with Teresa? Okay.
No.
So, okay. So is that sounding good, everybody? All right. So what I'd love to do now is just meet everyone and ask, we're going to just do a 30-second share. And I've asked Jeanette to be our timekeeper. And please, in our share, just say a little bit about where you're from, what brings you, and what is your aspiration for our time together in this class? What made you want to sign up for this class? So how about, Martha, if you get us started? So just unmute yourself.
Okay, am I unmuted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Martha Massad, and I live on the East Coast in a small town, Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. And I am in this class because I'm in Dr. Rita Marie's classes and want to improve myself, learn how to help others and my family. And I come from a wonderful family, but then I married into two marriages where I was a victim. And so have really been struggling and challenged to grow and learn how not to be a victim anymore and just have a normal life. And so I'm doing it, and I'm enjoying all the things I'm learning.
Thank you, Martha. That's great. Welcome aboard. All right, Gail, let's drop down to you.
Let's see. My name is Gail, and I'm in a town in Washington.
I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me? I might have to.
That was better. Yeah, thank you. That's great.
And I I am actually studying functional nutrition and want to start a business. And I got this class as part of the bonus. I've started seeing a few clients, and I'm already feeling like, do I really want to do this? With some frustration. And so I think this is going to be really perfect for myself as well.
Great. It's going to help you so much with, it's going to help you so much with your clients. I'm delighted to know that you're doing this. That's great. Sarah.
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. Hi everyone. I'm Sarah. I'm from Austin, Texas. I took Laura's energy healing practitioner certification program several years ago. I had a very tiny, very part-time practice for a little bit and then kind of got away from the work and went to the Awakening retreat recently, and it reignited my love and passion for the work. So I'm first and foremost just doing this for myself because I love it, and then have thought about potentially maybe starting back up my practice part-time.
Great. Okay, Sarah. I'm excited for you for that possibility. Thanks. Ritu, can you hear us? She may have some internet connectivity challenges from time to time. You're frozen on this end. Oh, there we go. Okay.
Okay.
It's a little in and out.
Okay, well, that's what I got here, so
yeah,
I can't get a better connection.
We're good now.
Okay, great. So, hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Ritu, and I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. Currently, I'm in India visiting this summer. I had a chance to attend Laura's Awakening retreat back in May, and I was very excited to learn about this work. I'm in job transition currently, and I am doing this, to be able to work on myself and basically get connected with my own self so that I can define what I want to do next in life and just kind of help myself and help other people that are to me. So I'm very excited to be doing this class with you all.
Great. Thank you, Ritu. Okay, let's go to Roma. You're still on mute. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I also attended the Awakening retreat a few weeks ago. And it put me in touch with just how much the movement of energy within my own body actually defines so much and changes my perception a lot. I've done some self-awareness work before where everything was to do with the mind. But so this was very intriguing to me, and I think it's actually very effective. So I'm excited about being in this workshop and getting the most out of it to just at a place in my life where I think it's kind of like a square one again. So just excited about being in that space and working with my, maybe taking down my defenses. Let's see what happens.
Beautiful. Thank you, Roma. Okay. Let's jump back over to Jill.
Hi, everybody. I'm from Ramsey, Minnesota, which is by Minneapolis. This is my second time through Dancing with Defenses, and I went to the Awakening retreat as well. I'm excited to be here just because I want to keep learning about myself and gain understanding so that I can help other people. And I'm also in Rita Marie's nutritional program, so I'm thrilled to be here and have this experience with all of you.
Great. Thanks, Jill. Okay, Jenny.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. So I am Jenny, and I'm from Eugene, Oregon.
I think it's such a blessing that I discovered this program, because when I discovered it, I was really at a point where I felt that I was hitting my head on the wall with my nutrition practice. So a lot of times I would feel, oh, it's the client's fault. You know, it's them who gave me so much frustrations, right? But then after I went to Austin to meet all of you, not all of you, some of you, Laura and Kimberly, I actually realized it was a lot of myself that caused me a lot of frustrations, you know? So obviously I don't really know as much as for the connections between my emotion patterns and the causes of that. So I'm just really intrigued to learn more about the root causes and the past trauma, the connection between the past traumas and the current emotion behaviors, emotional patterns. Yeah, and then only then, I think, only then if I can achieve that, which is to understand my own patterns, can I help others?
Thank you, Jenny. And isn't it amazing how you're already helping them even though you haven't achieved that yet?
Yes.
Funny how that phenomena works. Okay. Mm-hmm. But thank you for sharing that. We can always continue to grow. Okay, Jan.
I'm here in Utah. Hello. And I am a graduate of Dr. Rita Marie's Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology, and I'm working towards also graduating from Laura's Transpersonal Energy Healing or Subconscious Cellular Healing. is another title for it. It's all the same. It is moving energy, and I love it. It has helped me, and I use it not only with my clients, but I use it all the time with my family. I have 4 daughters and 9 grandchildren, and I use this every single day. So I love it.
Thanks, Jan. Great. Okay, Carol.
Hi, I'm from Carmel, California, and I'm taking one of Rita's classes right now for the first time. And I've had 2 passions in my life. One is psychology, and the other is health. And so I've dabbled in some of the character styles or personality patterns, but I'm really excited about taking the class because I really believe it's going to increase my own awareness of my own survival strategies and patterns that I employ. It's been unconscious, and I'm in the process of making those unconscious patterns more conscious. And in the process, I've been feeling so much more freedom. And you know, it's baby steps. It's not just, you know, I arrive. It's like a constant process. And so I'm very thrilled to be taking the class.
Beautiful. Thank you, Carol. So great that you're in the right place for that, all those desires. Okay, Linnell. Let's just unmute yourself there. There we go.
I did the awakening retreat.
Can you be just a little louder?
Oh, sorry.
There we go.
Is this better?
Yeah.
I recently completed the awakening retreat, and that was an amazing experience for me. And I am so curious about the defenses and the survival patterns for myself, and also being able to recognize these things in other people instead of just being reactive or, you know, finding myself triggered so often by things other people do. So it's just more learning about myself and hopefully about, you know, other people as well.
Great. Thank you, Linnell. Let's all breathe. Remember to breathe. Okay. Breathing, breathing, breathing. Okay. Thank you. All right. Janine.
Hi.
You're still on mute.
Here we go. Okay, hi, I'm Janine, and I'm in sunny Southern California, Los Angeles area. And I, too, am in NAPT with Dr. Rita Marie. I went to the Awakening. I think this is something that timed perfectly in my life. I have been through trauma, I would say, since birth, and carry trauma from past generations. And it's, I feel like it's like the last step or to complete my healing journey that is so very much needed. And since Awakening, my body is going through things. And
your body's going through what?
Going through changes.
Ah, great.
Yeah, it's like right here now. Mm-hmm. Started at the base and working its way up, so it's very interesting. But I look forward to learning more and healing so that I can help others heal.
Beautiful. Thank you, Janine. Teresa, let's get you. I know we can't see you, but if we can hear you, or can you hear us? Oh, there we go. Good. Hi. You're still on mute. There we go.
Okay. Hopefully this is long enough to get an introduction anyways. My name's Teresa. I live in Chicago and part of Dr. Rita Marie's NEPT and repeating Dancing with Defenses as well. And really with the intention to just keep immersing in the work. I think the more and more I do the work, the more and more fascinating I think it becomes. And in how much I continue to learn and recognize, it's still very clear how much there's still I don't see. So I just think it's such a back and forth dichotomy that as much as you learn is as much as you still have to learn. So just always curious to stay in it.
Thanks for bringing that point up. It's so true. It's like the more you see, the more you go, oh my God, I don't see anything. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Angelica.
Good morning. Well, I'm in Austin, Texas, and I found Laura through working with one of her graduates from the Lionheart Institute, which where Laura used to run and operate in Los Angeles. And so after working with my own healer and seeing the power of the work, I said, I need to learn, you know, I need to study this method that you, you know, that you practice. And so that's how I found this course. And so I'm just working my way through and I'm like, just, how do I explain it? Yeah, I'm just so excited for this course because I really want to dive deeper because I realize that you can just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I've already seen so many changes in myself and it's subtle, but seen so many changes in how I, my defenses and my patterns. So yeah.
Great. Thanks, Angelica. Beautiful. Okay. Lori. Lori, yeah, there we go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Lori. I'm from San Diego, but recently moved up to the Olympic Peninsula of Washington in a little town called Squim. If you know the Twilight series books, that's the next town over. I've known Laura since 1996 when I started energy school with Michael Mamas, and she was a teacher there and ended up being my counselor. And I've already had a lot of deep touchings just seeing her face and going to places I didn't even expect to go to yet. But yeah, this work's been real powerful for me. I've always used characterology in and out in my life. And I'm a stay-at-home mom with two teenage boys and a husband. And I came from a dysfunctional family. I live in a dysfunctional family, and I'm looking forward for this to make my communication stronger and with family and friends.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Lori. It's so great to see your face too. I'm really happy that you're here with us.
Thanks.
Okay, Rajpal.
Hi, ladies. I'm Rajpal Singh. Looks like I'm the only guy here looking at all these photos. I'm up in New York. I'm a trained neurologist and trying to get into a little functional medicine, anti-aging medicine, integrative medicine is called by so many names. And so I saw that email from Dr. Rita Marie and participated in one of her conferences, I think, last weekend. And I did learn a few things there. I'm very happy. Part of the bonus was Dr. Laura Fine's program. So I'm looking forward eagerly to learn and see some of this to help my patients. I personally don't have any issues. I think I'm pretty much fairly balanced, but I don't know. I'll hear what you guys are saying and hope, you know, I could fine tune my own stuff. I don't know.
Thank you, Rajpal, for your openness. And I'm delighted that you're here because I love it when doctors come and do this work. It's really stepping out of the box of your typical traditional training. And it's so needed for integrative medicine to have some awareness of this. So thank you for being here with us and also for holding the male space for us. I think we do have one more man coming, but he's not here today. So I'm not sure what's happening there, but we'll see. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Christina.
Hi, I'm Christina and I'm in Los Angeles and I studied characterology, the character structures at Lionheart here. And I feel like I didn't fully integrate all the information because it's really complex. So that's why I wanted to repeat it. I'm an energy healer and counselor and a writer and working towards doing that full time. So I know this is going to help me with my clients. I work with clients on love and relationships. So I think it's going to help me both relate to them better, but also maybe bring them some awareness and understanding of how they can relate to others better when they're on their path to love. And the other reason I want to take it is to improve my interaction with my husband. We have a very harmonious, loving relationship, which has experienced some big changes over the past year as we became parents. And I'm noticing that our patterns and structures are just coming up more because we don't have as much resilience. We're pretty sleep deprived and stressed and have less time for ourselves. And so we already have great communication skills, but they seem to sort of fall apart when we're in our patterns. And so even just doing the reading for this week already helped me to understand what's going on better between the two of us. So I'd love to bring that to our relationship as we learn to parent together.
That's great, Christina. Thank you. And I love the point that you made because it's so common that as soon as kids come into the mix, mm-hmm. the whole dynamic, the whole family system changes. So, mm-hmm. Pooja.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm Pooja Patel. I'm originally from Fresno, California, and I also go to Los Angeles area. Currently, I'm in Austin, Texas, visiting for a summer camp that we have here. And I met Laura at that camp, and she was one of my guest speakers. I was doing a camp for college-age youth. I'm the coordinator here, and our theme was around communication. And so she was referred to me, and through this experience, she introduced me to this class, and she thought that it would be something I could really benefit from. And being that I'm around a lot of teens, a lot of millennials, I think it's always good to just learn about how to read people and how I should also read myself when I'm in front of different personalities. And so a little bit about myself, I'm 27. I just got my master's in public health. So you could say I'm an early careerist. I do enjoy the areas of health and biology. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this class. It's really nice to seeing everyone. And I hope I can get my videos fixed soon. So yeah. Be more interactive.
Great. Thanks, Pooja. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks.
Okay. Let's see. Before I get to the staff who I've missed, I think that's everybody else. Okay. So Jeanette, check in.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jeanette DePasquale. I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and I have known Laura since 2007. I had a pregnancy, a baby at the age of 47. I was in a major car accident when I was 7 months pregnant. And everything turned out okay, but I did go through somewhat of an out-of-body near-death experience. And something told me that there was something I needed to do with this child in my life. And it led me to Lionheart. So I took characterology over the second time. I just kept going back. I kept going back. And then I just kept expanding and expanding. And so it's a pleasure to continue to evolve and keep reinventing who I am. And I'm glad to be with all of you and Laura.
Thanks, Jeanette. It's great. Always great to have you here with us. And she's going to help be one of the administrators and assistants to us, the teaching team, which I'm always thrilled to have you. So I appreciate that. And Chris.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris. I live in Austin, Texas. And this is my second time through this Dancing with Defenses course. And I actually recently, I've done the TEH course over the last year and just recently qualified for certification. I originally started it really with the intention of my own personal growth. And the work is just so amazing. I just totally fell in love with it. And so I made the decision probably halfway through the year to incorporate it into a life coaching business, which I had done previously. And one of the things I didn't like about life coaching is just I wasn't able to go deeper with people. So my intention now is to use this work to go deeper with people and, of course, work on my own weaknesses and things like that. So anyway, so that's that.
Great. Thank you. Great to have you on board helping us with the team. And Kimberly.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Ward. I'm on the tail end of a cold and I'm losing my voice and I'm coughing quite a bit. So I apologize if I have to leave camera for a moment while I cough or blow my nose. But I've been an NEPT with Dr. Rita Marie and I met Laura quite a few years ago and went out to California to study with her at Lionheart. And since then I've finished my TEH certification and I've had the great honor of supporting her and helping to teach this material. I use it daily in my life with my clients as well as in my personal life and super excited to help other people understand this information and like Teresa said, and some of the other people here that are taking it again, you can't study it enough. There's just so much and there's deeper layers every time I go through it. So I'm really grateful to be able to learn more and to help other people learn.
Great. Thanks, Kimberly. It's always such an honor to have you here and thanks for being a trooper while you're sick, joining us. And Lynn.
I also wanted to point out we have somebody on phone. Amy, do you want me to open the rest?
Yes, thank you. Sure. Yeah, Amy, please go ahead and check Amy. In, and then we'll come back to you, Glenn, after that.
Yeah. Amy, I muted your phone. Yep.
Okay, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Hi, everyone. So right now I'm living in Cincinnati area. I learned about this class from Dr. Rita Marie, and I was really excited. I was like, yay, I'm so glad I'm going to get to take this because I looked you up, Laura, and it's interesting because I own 4 chiropractic offices, and I hold retreats about 4 or 5 times a year. And I have a few clients that really have this resistance, and it's exactly the same one that I have. So we're a match. And I would like to get over that, you know, like that resistance in me, because I know that I'm attracting that as well. And it's just it's with certain things, but that's the reason why I was very excited to take this class with you.
Great. I'm delighted to hear about that. It's like, you know, and I love your awareness on that, of what's showing up in you is being reflected by your clients. That's terrific awareness. And you'll definitely get insight into that today for sure. And throughout the course. So that's great. Thank you. And Lynn, so go ahead and check in. You're still on mute.
Sure. I'm Lynn. I live along the Minnesota-Iowa border. I have one husband, seven children, six grandchildren. And I think this is my third go around with this course. And it's an appropriate title, Dancing with Defenses, because I'm also a former competitive ballroom dancer. And one of the things you need with dance is to be aware. And so, this awareness within myself also helps me with any partnerships I have. And so I'm just always so grateful for this and all of you.
Great. Thank you, Lynn. So Lynn is our, you know, troubleshooting queen. And I so appreciate anything that comes up that she's going to help with, and also to help hold the space for us at times, along with Chris and Jeanette and Kimberly, who will be, the other teacher on our teaching team. So, okay, so let's take a deep breath and let's do a little bit of grounding and landing first. So a lot of sharing that happens. I appreciate what everybody shared. So I want to just start by standing up for a minute. So wherever you are, just stand up for a minute. And just let yourself walk in place for a minute and take a couple of deep breaths so you can kind of land in your body and feel your feet on the floor. So everybody stand up, please. And do that, just walking in place. And take some deep breaths. And then we're going to just start by tapping the top of the head. Tap the top of the head. And the face, wake it up. And the back of the head. Back of the neck. Grab the back of your neck muscles and give them a good squeeze, because we crunch and we hunch over a lot when we're on the phone or when we're leaning over in our computer. Change hands, squeeze it with the other hand. Slap down your shoulder and your arm. Wake it up, flip over your hand, up the back side of your arm, around your breast. Get all the lymph glands in your armpit. Breathing deeply. The most important thing is the breathing. Breath moves the energy. Remember that statement you already learned? Say it again out loud. Breath moves the energy. I know I can't hear you, but you can hear me. Breath moves the energy. Other arm from the shoulder, down the arm, breathing. Deep breath, flip it over. Breathing, inhale, exhale, breath moves the energy around that breast. Get the armpit, wake up the lymphatic system, tapping the thymus, upper chest, breathing down to the belly, little smacking around the belly. Grab a hunk of belly and shake it up, make some sound as you do it. Bend your knees as you shake your belly, tap your top of the thighs, so you're moving down to the tops of your thighs. Where what I call the bridge into the legs, down, smack your butt. You've been sitting on your butt, smack your butt. Get the kidneys with loose open fists, tapping, breathing, 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 breathing. Deep breath, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. When you exhale, make a big sigh of relief. Ha, tap down the leg. The inside and the outside of the thigh, all the way down the leg, and then down the other leg. And then shake it off and make some ha, ha, ha. Let some sound out. Ha. Open your jaw wide. Open your mouth wide. Ha, ha, ha. Let some sound out. Ha. Shake it off. Shake everything up. And sit down. And just close your eyes for a minute. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes for a minute. And notice what you're feeling in your body. Notice what you're feeling in your body. Bring your awareness to your heart center. You can put your hands over your heart if you want. Take a couple deep breaths into the heart. And I want you just to take a moment to feel that you are in a receptive mode. So just like when water runs into a new sponge, it takes a minute for the sponge to absorb the water. Feel that your cells are absorbing the breath energy into your physiology. Okay, and then go ahead and open your eyes and put a few comments in the chat about how that felt. And let yourself, you know, there's a little icon at the bottom of your screen that says chat. It's got an orange around it. And if you open that up, you can put any comments that you'd like to share about what you felt just from that literally about 90 seconds of grounding work that we did. Okay. So I want to talk to you for just a couple minutes, then we're going to go through a PowerPoint presentation, and I'm going to talk you through an overview of what are these personality patterns? What are they all about? Those of you who may not have had a chance to get this book yet, you're going to need to get this book. It will be required for the course, The 5 Personality Patterns by Stephen Kessler. It's please read your emails carefully because it's going to have all the information about the syllabus and how to track through the course. If you haven't read it yet, don't worry about it. You'll catch up. But I did want you to have read the first 7 chapters of the book for class today, and I'm going to kind of go through an overview. And again, like I say, don't worry if you haven't done it yet. You'll catch up with us, and what I'm going to explain to you today will give you a good foundation no matter what, wherever you are. With where you are in the work itself. So I'll go through a PowerPoint, and then we'll have a few minutes of Q&A, and then we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do some experiential exercises about the work itself, right from your own home, and then we'll do a little bit of small group sharing about what the exercises were like, and then we'll do a brief check-in, and then that will be our format for today. And then just to let you know, after we do these, there are 5 master classes. This is the first master class. And in between, so next Saturday, we're going to divide the class in half. Half of you will go with Kimberly and Jeanette, and the other half will go with myself and Chris. And we'll have a smaller group meeting in between the master class groups where we'll have more time to share and talk about how we're actually applying this work into our personal lives. So those are really exciting and dynamic too, because there we can get to go a little bit deeper because we'll be working with a smaller group of people. So so you don't have to leave what you already know at the door to learn about this work. All of you have done varying degrees of personal self-growth work. I could probably learn from every one of you just as much about your areas of expertise. So this is going to get integrated and incorporated into what you all know. And I'm so honored and moved to be able to share with you the pieces that I can bring to the table. This is, as Stephen Kessler himself says in the book, this is just another map or another model of a system. But what I love about this particular system is it's very physically grounded in practical reality, and it's rooted in the chakra energy system as well as in the energy, the muscular system, and the physiology of the body. So it's not as woo-woo out there as a lot of the energy work is in the field. And remember, as we study this, that you know, you doctors and you practitioners know that when you go to any kind of medical school, you get intern's disease. You get every symptom of everything you're studying. So you're going to go through this. You go, oh God, maybe I'm this or maybe I'm that. Well, the truth is you're not any of those. This, what I love about this map and about this model is it's a map of what you are not, not about what you are, so that you can become more aware of your, what I call essential self, your divine self, your authentic self. This gets your patterns out of the way of your true connection to the divine unlimited self or yourself at best, your essential self. So what is a personality pattern? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but a few other, let me go to the screen share now. So we'll go to the PowerPoint. Okay, and let me go from slideshow. Okay, so this is an overview today, and we'll go into the leaving pattern. So what is our course goal? Our goal is how to recognize when we're in a defensive pattern, how to shift out of that pattern and back into presence or present time, and to even realize that we're in a reaction which has to do with our history and not to do with what's going on in present time, and how to respond to others when they are in patterns. So a lot of you already talked about that is one of the things you'd really like to know more about in this class. What is a personality energy pattern? It is an automatic body-based reaction that acts as a buffer to manage overwhelm and is not relevant to the present situation. So people might call that a trauma response, or they might call that a defensive response, or they might call that a reactivity or an overreactivity. So when we are in a reaction, when we are in a defensive response, our system has an automatic way of responding to that, that tries to manage or buffer those uncomfortable feelings, but that distorts our view or our perspective of what's really the truth and reality. So a real basic concrete example of that is road rage. You're driving down the freeway, somebody cuts you off, and you go cursing and screaming and yelling, and you're like, whoa. And later on you realize, whoa, where did that come from? And other days somebody can cut you off in the freeway and you're just like, la-di-da, okay, they're in a hurry, no big deal. That's how we know we're in reactivity, when our reaction is disproportionate to the circumstances at hand. Now that road rage is a really obvious example, but there's a lot of other examples that are way less obvious and more tricky to ourselves. So that's what we're going to be learning about and noticing and looking at today. A stunted survival response to feeling unsafe, drawing upon the capacities available at the time of their developmental origin to create physical or emotional safety. The response pattern limits the embodiment of our essential self. So what does this mean? Stunted survival response. It means that when you were a child growing up, if you were not sufficiently soothed or nurtured or learned how to re-regulate your system when you were overwhelmed, then you began to build a defense against those system or against those feelings or a buffer or a defensive buffer to help you manage those feelings. You weren't taught that, so you only could do what you were capable of at that developmental age. And I'm going to talk about that more specifically in a minute. But for example, if there's fighting in the household, if the infant grows up in an alcoholic home and mom and dad are screaming and yelling and fighting all the time or drunk all the time, the infant has only one recourse for self-defense, and that is to energetically leave its body, to either go to sleep, fall asleep, or just drift off or tune out in some way because it can't. You know, it can cry, maybe it will get picked up and soothed, maybe not. So it learns how to shut down and how to energetically leave its body. That's its only recourse. As we grow up, we get a little bit older and we can have a little bit more capacity to self-regulate, but we're still extremely dependent. So for example, if mommy and daddy are yelling and it's a toddler, and it happens frequently enough, that toddler might learn how to go in and try to soothe mommy to try to feel better herself, try to intervene to feel better herself. And then that toddler disconnects from their own feelings of fear and grow. And when we grow up, that toddler becomes, you know, a very anxious adult. So we build our sense of self around these subconscious patterns in a false sense of safety. We build like what's called a false self. And it keeps us, we build that out of necessity for survival when we're in that developmental age, because that's all we had available to us. But when we're adults and we want to be in relationship, leaving our body or spacing out or shutting down or sleeping too much doesn't help us bring our full self into development, doesn't help us realize our dreams, doesn't help us maneuver in the adult world. So at the core of each individual rides the capacity for healing and growth for ourselves at best. So here's the other interesting thing that I love about these personality energy patterns is the physical body follows and grows into the energy body pattern. So let's say that the child learns how to repress or compress his or her feelings because it's not safe to cry. So all of the energy of that grief and sadness gets contracted in, and maybe the neck gets contracted and tight, or they tense up. And then the physical body might grow up into having a short, thick neck because as a baby, it learned, oh, I have to contract my energy, repress my energy, hold it in. And so therefore, when we study this work enough, and not even all that much is needed, we start to look at just somebody's physical body. They walk into the room, we're actually looking at, when we look at their physical body, we're actually looking at their physical energy body. And that's a whole nother conversation that I won't have time to go into right now. But we're looking at their whole physical energy body, and it's all revealed right there. And that's going to help you know how to talk to that person, how to connect with that person, because you can see the trauma pattern that they've learned that's in their body. Okay. Primary feelings don't age. So what do I mean by primary feelings? Primary feelings are the most vulnerable, authentic feelings that are usually covered up by secondary feelings or defensive feelings. Like you might get really pissed off and angry, but underneath that anger is maybe fear or maybe sadness, and you feel too vulnerable to show that. I love these pictures because this is the same feeling that this adult is feeling. It's the same feeling. Primary feelings don't age. The same fear, the same terror that this little baby is feeling at thinking, you know, you've just been told you got to speak in front of 100 people. He's going, what? Oh my God, are you kidding? I can't do that. That's terrifying, right? And when this baby was told, shut up, don't talk, stop crying. Same feeling, right, that the adult feels. This one learned confusion. Like, wait a minute. The more I think, the more confused I get is the subtitle here. And here we are as adults. When I get overwhelmed, what do? I get confused. The same way I was confused here. So let me give you an example of confusion that might happen for a baby. The baby's crying. And the mother goes, oh, honey, you're fine. You're happy. Smile, sweetheart. You're happy. But the baby's not happy. And the mother is reflecting a feeling that the baby isn't feeling. And that's very confusing. As opposed to the mother going, oh, you're sad. What's wrong? Okay, so there's a congruent message that comes back to the baby rather than an incongruent message. And when there's an incongruent message, the adult goes, well, I really feel sad, but I should feel happy. Huh, I'm confused. Is this making sense so far? So this is what happens. There's an incongruent message that happens, and the same feeling, I learned how to process that confusion here, shows up here. I'm happy. Okay, so this is a nicely congruent message here. Same happiness. When this little boy got a new toy truck, the same happiness that this big George got when he got his new red pickup truck that he's been longing to save up for. Same kind of joy he feels as an adult as we do as a child. So primary feelings don't age. Okay, what you do, not who you are these patterns that we're going to learn about. In childhood, someone else must regulate the charge in your body. So if I get scared, if I cry, if I need my mother or my father or my caretaker to come in and soothe me and tell me it's okay and rock me and stroke me, and then I learn that in my physiology, oh, I can re-regulate, I can be okay. But if we didn't learn that as children, then when we become adults, the ability to regulate, then the ability and skills to regulate the charge in my own body becomes my responsibility, but I don't know how, because they sure didn't teach me this in school. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't learn it in school. So if I didn't learn it in school, then I have to go to grown-up school, like this school, and like, you know, Dr. Rita Marie's school, like Dancing with Defenses school, to learn how do I regulate the energy charge in my own body. So that's what we're doing in this course. We're going to learn a lot about how to regulate the energy charge in our own body. So what are you attuned to? And I find this really interesting. If you are attuned to fear, if you have the leaving pattern, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, you're going to be really attuned to fear. Everything's going to be scary to you. And you're always looking for danger or safety. So let me give you a different example for a minute. When a woman is pregnant, everywhere she sees other pregnant women, you're in pregnancy consciousness. When you're looking for when you're looking to buy a new Prius, all of a sudden you notice how many people have Priuses on the road. Wow. Not only that, if you want a green Prius, you're going to notice green Priuses. You're going to have green Prius consciousness, okay? Everywhere you're going to look, you're going to see, you're going to be tuned into watching for, oh, wow, there's another Prius. Oh, look at that. So you are attuned to, if you learned the leaving pattern, you're attuned to danger and safety. Like, oh, I can't go outside and play. I'll get bug bitten. I need to be safe. It could be a physical danger. It could be emotional danger. You're always looking for, how do I feel safe? Oh, that person wants something from me. I don't feel safe. They're demanding. They're manipulating me. Oh, that's not safe. So we are attuned to, plugged into, everything is weighed against. I can't talk to that person. They're not safe for me. I can't tell you how many times I hear that statement. That person's not safe for me. Well, safety is an inside job. Say that out loud. Safety is an inside job. Safety is not based on the externals. Safety is internal. Okay, so, and you might say, well, yeah, well, what if, you know, there's a building falling over on you? Or what if, you know, somebody comes in with a gun and starts shooting everybody? Yeah, there's physical safety, that's true. But there's a way in which we are attuned to looking everywhere, seeking the danger in every situation, and it's limiting us in some way. Okay, so there's also, we might be, if we're in the connection, if we're in the merging pattern primarily, we're always looking for connection. And we're tuned into approval or disapproval. So many of our choices in life, many of the decisions we make are based in the need for approval. And we're also attuned to disapproval. We're always looking to gain approval. So those of you who are parents, you can see your children who really, really need approval. And, you know, you can might find yourself of thinking, oh, I disapprove of that person's behavior, or I disapprove of this, or I disapprove of that. So we're really plugged into and attuned to approval or disapproval around everything. There's judgments, lots of judgments around this. If we're predominantly the enduring pattern, we're tuned into fairness. I'm always looking for, if something isn't fair, remember I used to have a roommate who was like, I would always hear her say, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. This person's paying more than that person. That's not fair. Or justice, or they're tuned into justices and injustice, that a lot of these people will become social activists or politicians. They're really plugged into what's the just and unjust aspects of their environment and their dynamics. The what he calls the aggressive pattern is about power. Power is the essential thing that they are attuned to. And they're always looking for who's the stronger one and who's the weaker one. And so you're always scoping out who's strong and who's weak. I want to be on the strong person's team. And weakness is repellent and abhorrent to this person who is really all about power. It's really abhorrent to me if you're weak. And then the rigid pattern is all about the rules. As long as you tell me the rules, I feel safe. I feel comfortable. I can play. I can. I need to know what's expected of me, and I need to be able to do it right. And oh, you can't do it wrong or inappropriately. Okay, so these are a lot of what we are attuned to. So we are going to become detectives for glimmers of the essential self that live behind these patterns. All right, so survival patterns are based upon the flow of energy happening within us. We move away from others when we are attuned to the leaving pattern. We move toward others. Our energy moves toward others when we are in the merging pattern. Our energy moves in and down. This is an example of the in and down. This is, you can see the repressed, pulled down energy in the enduring pattern person here. This is an up and out, aggressive pattern person. The energy moves up and out of the chakras. And in the rigid, it tightens into the core, into the central core of the person. How survival patterns are created from developmental overwhelm. If you get this, you will have gotten a piece of gold, just even understanding this much here. So there's a need that's not being met. So here we have a little girl, right? She's probably about 2.5, 3 years old here. And she has a need that's not being met right here. She needs to be soothed. She needs to be talked to. She needs some explanation, some understanding, some consolence here. So if she doesn't get it, and if she's alone here enough, she will create a pattern. And that pattern ultimately becomes a strategy. So she has to disassociate, disconnect from this feeling of overwhelm in order to cope with that. So she'll compartmentalize the feeling, or she'll disconnect from the feeling, or she'll repress the feeling. And what happens is, because it's too overwhelming for her to feel, she's too little to feel the enormity of the grief that's going on here. So she has to tuck it away. Maybe she's going to go play games or go into her fantasy world or do something to cope with the overwhelm. But the energy of that gets left in her body, in her little system, and she's overwhelmed by it. So she has to disassociate from it. She has to disconnect from it to manage it, to cope with it. And because it can't, she can't, it's too much for her to feel in present time. So a tension gets created in order for her to adapt to her circumstances. Nobody's going to come and hug me. Nobody's going to come and pick me up. She starts to realize that. So I have to repress it. I have to hold the energy of that grief somewhere in my system. And then she creates a belief that reinforces this pattern, this beautiful survival pattern. It was brilliant of her to repress it and to hold it in. So she creates a belief and the belief is that I can manage as long as I don't show my emotion. I can manage as long as I don't let mommy see me cry, because or daddy see me, I'll get hit. So I can manage as long as I hold that in. And then we get stuck in that incomplete developmental stage when we become adults, because in actuality, the coping mechanism that we learned perhaps was to go into fantasy play and disconnect from it. And then when I get fast forward to adult land, when I become an adult and I feel overwhelmed, I just want to withdraw and go space out and, you know, watch tons of movies because I can't manage the feelings that are happening for me. Okay. Are we breathing? Is everybody still breathing? So before we go into the leaving pattern, let me just stop this share for a minute and just see if any quick questions about that much so far. And then we're going to do a brief overview on each of the patterns. How's this landing so far? Comments, questions, thoughts, anything I need to know that came through the chat that would be helpful for the group then? Okay. Are we breathing? Everybody's really quiet right now. What's going on? Janine, you got a big old smile on your face. Can you share for a moment?
Yeah, it's just a lot to comprehend. Again, you know, we touched on it a few months ago.
Right.
And I'm trying to self-reflect back. And I found myself, because I'm a mother, and I know you told us in group, don't be a mother, don't go there. And I'm trying to force myself not to go there and reflect what I've done and trying to see it in my children.
Good. So thanks for bringing that up, because one of the most important things that you can, the best ways to get the most possible out of this class is to think about you parents in here. Just parents, raise your hand for a minute. Everybody who's a parent in here, just raise your hand for a minute. Okay. So parents, thank you. You will get the best benefit out of this course if you think about your own childhood rather than how you've been a parent, for starters. That you will get the most healing benefit if you can do that. So think about how you are. Yeah, Lori, did you want to toss something in the pot here? You're still on mute.
Never mind. It's okay. Oh, there it went.
Okay.
Yeah, I do that. And I don't try and figure out my kids, but what this has done for me is I can see my own woundings and how I've passed them on to my kids. And so I know where theirs come from. But it's right. Working on myself that helps with that. I can be more honest and clear, have better communication about what's happening.
Beautiful. And let me just say, you know, if your kids are pretty grown already, like your kids are teenagers now, don't feel like, oh God, it's too late. I screwed them up, you know.
I have, but I don't. I understand yeah. that I have to keep reminding myself, though, yeah. that there's still time, because in my 20s, I changed. So
yeah. And thank you for bringing that up for all the parents in the room, because I think that will be helpful for everybody to know that there is a trickle back effect. And not only to your children, but Janine, you brought this point up, or maybe it was Carol, actually, generations. There's a trickle back generationally, even to the children who are not, you know, I mean, parent, people who are not alive in a body anymore. So that's a great thing too. Okay, so let's go back to, yeah, Martha, did you have one more quick share, and then we'll go back to the overview.
I guess where I'm having trouble with all this is that I feel like I've settled a lot of things. So trying to like figure out as I'm leaving, emerging, the patterns, I feel like I've resolved a lot of things because I've been working on it. Mm-hmm. And I had wonderful parents, but I had a brother that caused me a lot of issues. So, you know, I don't want to blame, judge, life is what it is. And so trying to put that all in perspective, I feel like I've already forgiven and settled a lot. And so it's hard to look at this because I don't want to bring stuff back up. So is that unhealthy or healthy?
It's a great question. Thank you. I love that you brought that question up, because it, you know, I'm a great believer in, we don't have to create a problem where there isn't one. But I can assure you that wherever you have even the slightest, you know, conflict with any of your current present life relationships now and or going forward, that there's still some piece of your history that's showing up there. And you don't have to dredge open your history to resolve it. I mean, that's the other thing, is you're going to resolve it more and more in present time, because the energy dynamic is in present time. However, understanding our history, developmental history, will help you to do that in present time. You don't have to remember and go back and relive every trauma or anything like that. It's not necessary. Truly, it's not. There are a lot of people who don't even have memories of, like, I know something bad happened to me, but I have no memory of what it was. I just know that every time I stand, you know, next to, you know, like a police officer, I break out in a cold sweat and start shaking all over, you know, it's like, so you have to know that maybe, you don't have to, if something happened to you, so what? Who cares? What we want to work with is, in present time, I'm having this interesting physiological reaction to an authority figure when they stand next to me. Okay. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Last one, Lynn, and then we'll go back to the thing. Go ahead.
Yep. And I'll be quick, I think. So I also liken it to, we all have genes in our body, and certain SNP variations. And so we don't have to be them, though. It's how we live our life. We all have these personality patterns, but it's like you said, certain things trigger it. It's also what I know as soon as I think, oh, I've got this one settled, something's going to come up and show me. So again, physically, because some of us here are practitioners, it's like you do things to boost your physical immune system, but you still may, something may still trigger your system and you get sick. And it's the same thing here. It's not that you get sick, it's just something may happen and it triggers it. And so it just means there's more work on that path to be done.
That's great. Yes. And there is a direct link physiologically, which I love that you brought up just there. Okay, so let's go back to this. Okay, so we're going to talk about briefly about each of these patterns for a minute. So the leaving survival pattern happened in our early in utero stage, you know, of development when you, you know, the, when the soul comes into the mother's womb, and also the birth, there can be birth trauma or the birth experience. The birth experience itself is slightly traumatic. No matter how great a birth it is. So there's some of that aspect of it there. And also from up to about 4 to 6 months of age. And as I mentioned already, the baby's only recourse when it gets too overwhelmed is to leave its body. And you can see through the eyes here, right? Already this baby is learning to go, oh, this is scary. And it's already disconnected from its physical body. It's not safe to be in my body. So here we have this little boy grown up to adult land. And you can see the same look in the eyes, right? I'm leaving my body. I'm spacing out. We all do this to some extent. You know, when you drive home, you're like, gee, how did I get here? Right. You know, or if you're talking to somebody and you're looking at them straight in the face and you're not hearing a word they said and you realize, oh God, I just tuned them out. So I'm not in present time anymore. It might be your mother-in-law who's, you've heard the same story 5 times for an hour and a half and you tune it out. But that's what you're using to do to cope with that is you're going out of your body instead of saying, hey, mom, I've heard this before. I can't, you know, tolerate, I can't be with you again as you repeat it. So instead we leave the body. But the good, so the goal is, the need is in this developmental stage is to really feel safe to be in my physical body, to be grounded, to be safe, that my body is a safe place to embody. And when I leave, when I'm habituated to leaving my body in order to feel safe, I practice something else that's really wonderful. I practice this amazing gift that teaches me to be creative, to be a visionary, to be artistic, to be spiritual. I have a tendency to be intuitive because I'm really familiar and comfortable with these outer dimensions, these higher planes of existence. I'm way more comfortable there. So you're going to find people who have the leaving pattern are oftentimes people who like would rather go on a vacation by themselves and with their family. They like to do solo treks and journeys. They like to, they might be meditators who like to meditate for hours on end. They might like to work with animals and children and nature rather than human beings, like anything rather than contact human beings, but they have incredible gifts that are intuitive and spiritual and very lofty. They see the bigger sort of more transcendental perspectives of life. Okay, so let's go to the next pattern, which is the merging pattern. This happens from about 6 months of age to about a year. And in this developmental stage, what's happening is the baby is still very dependent, of course, totally dependent on the mother for nurturance. It needs both physical nurturance and emotional nurturance. So does the leaving pattern baby. But for some reason, in the leaving pattern, there was a great lack of emotional nourishment. There might be emotional nourishment for this pattern, but what happened was the emotional nourishment gets repeatedly interrupted or disrupted. So if there's a household with a lot of kids in it or a lot of distraction in it, the baby might get a little bit of soothing, but it's not enough. It gets interrupted and disrupted so frequently that an anxiety is learned by that baby, an anxiety, like there's never going to be enough. My needs are not going to be met. I'm not going to have that experience of feeling filled up or fulfilled. So there's a merging that is absolutely essential that needs to happen with that baby that needs to be held and rocked and soothed until its needs completely met. So you can see here, fast forward to adult land, and you can just see the pulling energy from this woman, the needy look in her eyes, like, you know, you're not paying attention to me. You're not with me. You're not helping me, right? So that's the same look in the eyes here, right? What happens out of that lack of need or interrupted need for nourishment is incredible sensitivity to nourish others. Like, I know what needing to be nourished feels like. So I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to fill you up, and I'm going to know how to fill you up. And I'm going to have a silent request for you to fill me up too, but I'm going to just know exactly what you need, and I'm going to give it to you. Because so that's the gift, incredible sensitivity about others' needs. So these people grow up to be teachers and healers and therapists and, you know, people who are really sensitive to and attuned to the needs of others. Okay, so the enduring pattern happens at about a year and a half to say two and a half to three years old. And this is our first stage of individuation. The need is to individuate, to express oneself, to feel autonomous, right? And yet the baby is still dependent. So the baby is now able to do some things for himself or herself. So he or she can walk, she can maybe speak a few words, and she's feeling all this power of herself or himself to, like, wow, I can do things, I can throw things. And I found the beautiful power of the word no. I can say no. And not only can I say no, I like saying no. And I have all this charge that's going through my body. And so when the mom says, eat your peas, and the child goes, no, right? No, you need to eat your peas. No, you know, don't throw your food on the floor. No, and throws the food on the floor. But what the baby's doing also is doing that action and then looking to see, how is it being received? How is mommy or daddy reacting to my throwing the food on the floor? And that way I'm learning about boundaries, but also the need for freedom. Okay, so you can, and a piece of a plate, you can choose one to eat. So there's a boundary, but also some choice. Right? So this is one of the most challenging stages of development for parents to manage, because there's so much charge that's going through the little child's system that he or she needs to disperse. And yet there's also a great need for safety and the expression of that. So there's a need for individuation, but also expression. So both are needed, individuation and expression. And it's really challenging for parents to manage both of those. They need safe boundaries, but they also need expression. What happens when there's wounding is that there's too much control over the child. The child learns to repress and contain his or her feelings, to stuff them, that you have to do everything I tell you to do. And if you don't, you'll get slapped. You'll get punished. So the baby who is so longing to express itself, herself, himself, has to hold all of her authentic feelings in and endure that. And so in that enduring, we learn how to tolerate a lot. And so that tolerance gives us incredible strength and groundedness. I mean, you can just load this person up. If you're a person who needs some support and help, they are there for you. They've got big, strong, grounded roots and open arms to hold you. They are the person who will, you know, stick with you. There's a loyalty about them. They're the ones who, when you need to move and all your other friends like hide from that, is like, what? You want me to pack 100 boxes and help you move for 3 days? I don't think so. But the person with the enduring pattern, they're going to show up They'll be early. They'll stick with you right till the very end when you're done. So that's the gift of this pattern. And the wound is they'll endure until they explode. They'll become so sensitive to all of what is going on for you and what your needs are that they can tell you what you're feeling before you even know it yourself, but they will be clueless as to what they're feeling and when they are, when they can't tolerate anymore. And they'll just like, all of a sudden there'll be an outburst of rage and they'll go, oh my God, what did I just do? And then they'll feel shame and embarrassment because they blew up. They could not hold anymore because they're so disconnected from their own feelings, but incredibly tuned into you. I had a friend that I, and a colleague that I worked with for many years. She used to walk into our office and go, Laura, what's wrong? And go, nothing, I'm fine. She go, no, something's wrong. I go, no, really, I'm fine. 3 hours later, I go, you know, you're right. Something's bothering me. She would feel it before I would. She would be that tuned into me, that sensitive, more than I could. And that's the enduring pattern. Okay, then there's the aggressive survival pattern. And I like what Anadea Judith calls this terminology better. I like, she calls it the challenger defender pattern. Challenger defender. Their need is trust. And this happens around, so you see we're growing up now, right? We're getting a little older. Now we're about 3 years old to 5 years old, 3 to 5, this developmental stage. So what happens is they need to learn how to trust others. The need is trust. And they need to trust that there's a higher power, a greater force that is stronger and than them and cares about them. Stronger than them, but also cares about them. So, and that will take care of them and will be safe for them and with them. And so in this developmental stage, there's a need to feel protective and contained by something. And that something wasn't there for them. So there's a feeling of betrayal and aloneness. Like they're too big, they're too small to make big decisions. So I'll give you an example of that. My mother used to send me to the grocery store when I was 4 years old. And the grocery store was just across the street, but it was a big market. And she'd give me a few dollars. Now, this was a long time ago, so things were a little different back then. But still, I was very little. And she'd give me, she'd tell me like 4 things to buy, like buy eggs, buy milk, buy cheese, buy butter. Okay. I'd go, I hated doing this. I'd go across the street with my little money in my hands and my little hands. And I'd go and I would only remember 3 of the items. I could never remember everything she told me to get because it was too overwhelming for me. And I would get yelled at. I'd come home as a 4-year-old and I would get yelled at because I couldn't remember the 3 items or the 4 items or whatever it was. So there was too much demand placed on me too soon. And so there would be a feeling of, that's just a small example, but there would be a feeling of betrayal around that. So the focus was on a performance and feeling like I had to buck up and do things I wasn't ready to do. And so there's a feeling of aloneness in that lives in that, and a feeling that life is a battle. I have a need. I have to figure out what I need on my own. I have to act to get it, but there are limits on what I can do because I'm too little. And so therefore, I have to do it all by myself, and no one supports me. No one's really going to care for me. And I need limits, and I need somebody bigger and stronger than me to help me. But because that help wasn't there, there's a feeling of betrayal and a lack of trust. I can't trust you because you're going to make me do something I'm not ready to do. Therefore, I have to do it on my own. And I can't admit that I need help because if I do, I'll get punished. Does this sound like a little bit like our president maybe? So I can't ask for help because I'll get punished if I ask for help. So I have to dominate in order to feel safe. Because that's what I learned how to do. I have to, you know, take charge. So here we are. We grow up to be the dominant leader who And everybody is either strong, and I have to be the strong one, so you have to be the weak one. And I'm not allowed to be weak, because if I'm weak, I'm punished. So are we getting the idea of where this comes from? Are we breathing? So let's start putting some things in the chat about what do you relate to so far about some of these structures. So go ahead and put that in. The gift, though, there's some incredible gifts here. There's a fearlessness. These people are not afraid. I mean, you could got to say that about Trump. He is not afraid to like put himself out there. And they're leaders. They are dynamic. They're charismatic. They're charming. They're powerful. They create followers. People will follow them everywhere. So the need is really to trust others, but to learn how to do that safely because they didn't have that trust. And the last pattern is the rigid pattern. And this happens about 4 to 7 years old. And also puberty is another big component of the rigid survival pattern. And so this need is to trust myself. The challenger aggressor pattern was about trusting others. This one is about trusting oneself. And so they learned that their parents lost contact with their own inner life and therefore couldn't nurture their child's inner life. So they brought up their child appropriately. They followed all the right rules. They followed all the, you know, Dr. Spock or whoever is the latest, you know, child psychologist trainer. And the focus is on appearance and performance and an approval for achievements rather than on just their own being, on their just loving them for their own being, loving them even when they make mistakes, loving them even when. So these are a lot of children who got love withdrawn from them when they didn't perform adequately or when they didn't create results. Love with, you know, might have been silently withdrawn and the parents just got cold to teach them, you know, no, that wasn't good enough. You have to do it over, do it again. So they learned that when they have a need, I have to act to get it. And I am guided by something that is good and flexible and intelligent inside of me, that I'm a spark of that thing and that I can be in contact with that. But if I have a need and I act to get it and I don't have that reflection of that sense of my own inner self, then I learned that the only so-called love that I'm going to get is going to be in the form of approval. Okay. So the question, so here's where, and you see this picture in your book, right? The leading pattern is to avoid confrontation. So if anything, you know, that happened in that early childhood stage, I'm going to leave my body. If it's the emerging pattern, I'm going to avoid self-responsibility as an adult, and I'm going to do overdue for others because I can't feel the emptiness inside myself. I have to avoid self-responsibility because it's too painful to feel the lonely, empty hole inside myself. If I'm in the enduring pattern predominant, then I have a really hard time admitting my mistakes. I'll withhold because I'm afraid that I'll be suffocated or overly controlled if I withhold my mistakes. If I'm in the aggressive pattern, then I need to prove myself. I'll be argumentative as an adult. And if I'm in the rigid pattern, I have to have the last word and be right. So these are just some of the ways that the emotional resistance shows up energetically. We pull the energy into the core for the rigid. We push the energy up and out on other people. If we're in the aggressive pattern, we store the energy. We suppress it. We repress it. We stuff it down. If we're in the enduring pattern, we want to merge and bond with somebody else. These are, I know, Christina, you were working a lot with love relationships with your clients. You probably get a lot of merging pattern people. I want a relationship. And they are so stuck in the merging pattern that all they want to do in actuality is find a way to merge and heal that early childhood pattern for themselves. And if we're in the leaving pattern, we just shoot up and out the body into the psychic realms where it's much more safe and comfortable and fun. Okay. So why am I still stuck? Until we're almost ready for a break, folks, so hang in there just a few minutes more. Until we heal the core trauma in the energy body, we continue to react in survival pattern when overwhelmed. That's why I asked you to ask a family member or a close friend about how to write a description about how you behave when you're reactive, when you're upset, when you're in a survival pattern, because as Martha, as you sort of brought up, it can be tricky. Like, okay, I've done a lot of work on myself, you know, like how, what's going on here? Like, why do I need to dig anything up? Well, you don't, because it's all going to follow you right into your present adult life, wherever you go. I'm still working on my stuff too. Believe me, it shows up. Okay. So we need to feel the energy to heal the energy. We need to feel the energy. And this is different from emotion. And this we'll talk about more as we go. But this I want to also make really clear that feeling the energy is not necessarily as you know, like looping in emotion, becoming overly emotional. The good news is the habitual practice of your survival pattern cultivated those gifts, those that fostered their own gifts that are just magnificent and beautiful in you. Okay, so the big mystifying dilemma. Each survival pattern is unable to fully comprehend the stuckness of the other patterns. This is so amazing to me how, like, if you had an earlier developmental pattern, then you are going to know, you're going to be a person who reacts to others by going, how can that person be so unfeeling, so cold? You're going to find yourself thinking that a lot about every time you're in conflict with somebody. You're going to be thinking, like, God, why is that person so cold, so mean, so nasty? You know, so, you know, that's going to be the person who had one of the earlier patterns, like the leaving pattern or the merging pattern or the enduring pattern. The later developmental stages are going to find themselves saying more often, what is wrong with you? Like, why don't you just get over yourself? What is the big deal? And those are the things that are going to really irritate you. Like, why is that person making such a big deal out of this? Like, just get over it. You know, come on, let's move on. They'll explode, you know, they'll jump, whatever. But, you know, like I had a colleague that I worked with for a while who was so aggressive, and she would often just like blow up at somebody and then go, okay, so let's move on. And she felt great by then. And like, what's the big deal? Get over it. You know, like it's, you know, and she's, I can take it when people yell at me, what's wrong with you? You know? So they have a hard, the older, later stage survival pattern people have a really big dilemma understanding this, and the early stage pattern people really have a big dilemma with this. So where conflict shows up in relationship is very often because you're in and more of an early stage pattern person, and the other person is in a later pattern person or a pattern or vice versa. Making sense so far? Okay, that's a really helpful aid if you can just grab that one. Okay, so observe the dance, right? We have, the good news is we have this objective observer part of our mind. Okay, it's called the buddhi in Sanskrit, the buddhi, the intellect, the intellect, the deciding mind, the intellectual mind. And then we have an emotional mind, part of the mind. So the man and the buddhi, right? The intellect, the emotional mind, and the thinking mind, the deciding mind. And this objective observer can observe the inner critical part of our mind, can observe us when we're in reactivity, can observe us. Many of us don't develop the objective observer too well until we become adults and start to take personal growth, do personal growth work. So many of us can see it more easily in hindsight. Oh, I really shouldn't have yelled at my kids like that. Or I really shouldn't have, you know, cut that person off in my road rage. Or, oh, I really shouldn't have, like, you know, called that person 5 times. You know, I just couldn't help myself, right? Because, you know, to try to ask them to come over, you know. So oftentimes it happens in hindsight. We want to catch the objective observer up to present time. To observe ourselves in reactivity in present time. Wow, look at my body tightening up. Wow, look at me getting really nervous right now. Wow, look at me wanting to really yell. Okay, so we want to catch the objective observer up into present time. We all have that inner critic patterned part of ourselves. He has some really good stuff to say about the inner critic in the book. You can just jot down page 51 and take a look at that later on. But the inner critic is the voices in your head that are your learned voices. And those learned voices are not your essential self. They are not the real you. They are learned messages from your history, from your family of origin, from other people who raised you, from peers, from colleagues. They are learned negative messages. And they become internalized messages of our own that we either self-direct to ourselves, we become self-critical, or critical of others and judgmental of others. And they are those that inner critic voice is immature and it's childlike. And it's not to be confused with the conscience, with your conscience that matures you. It's the immature, childlike, self-berating, you know, self-criticism that we beat ourselves up around. Sometimes when I'm sitting with clients, I'll just feel myself go, ouch, when I hear them tell me things that they're saying. And I'll sometimes give them that feedback. Like, that was a real ow you just did to yourself. Like a real hit yourself over the head with a baseball bat. But our objective observer is neutral and it's detached and it's objective and it's centered and it's non-judgmental even about our judgments. It's able to observe our own judgments. Okay. So then we have this wise man and woman part of ourselves inside. And this wise part is the wisdom of the heart, not the mind. It's the wisdom of the heart that can perceive, that can see, that can see where we are stuck or holding, or it's our wise mind. Okay. And it's beyond the intellect, the insanity of the crazy thinking mind. All right. So now, or before we take a break, and we're going to do that in just a minute, let's take a couple deep breaths and stand up. We'll do this little movement thing here. So I want you to just stand up and let your body shake. Just shake your arms and breathe. And make some sound. And bend your knees. And just, that was a lot that you heard. That was a big, big download. So just breathe and shake and vibrate and release. And let some more sound out. Big deep breaths. Big sighs. Just shake out. Move out, let your body release some of that happened. Okay, so it is 12:46 by my clock. I'd like us to take 10 minutes. If we could come back in 10 minutes and be super on time, and if we're all back sooner, we'll start even sooner. Just take a quick bathroom break, get some water. Now we're going to go after this into some really fun experiential stuff. Okay, so we'll be back in 10 minutes. We still have a lot to cover, so I want to go ahead and start back up, and even if people are not completely back yet, so that we can get there. So let me take a couple questions real quick while everybody is coming back. Anybody got a question? Question.
I have a question.
Okay. And this is
Carol.
Okay.
This is Carol. Just real quickly, Comcast disconnected the internet because it's working on a problem. So I had to call back in on the phone, and I'm just wondering if I'm going to be able to participate in the group or if I'm just going to have to pass.
No, of course you can participate, and it's being recorded, so you'll get to hear whatever you missed and see whatever you missed.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No worries. Yeah.
Okay,
other questions?
Yes, this is Rajpal. Laura, you buy this book where, from Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, easy to get. Other questions? Yeah, Janine.
Okay, I think I sent you part. Let me find it. Okay, it doesn't matter. Somebody's
getting some feedback. Yeah.
Is that me?
Can you? Yeah. Maybe type your question in the chat. See if that helps.
I sent it to you privately.
Oh. Let me see if I can see it.
It asked me to unmute myself. still sounding, that's weird.
I don't know why I'm not seeing your question. I think you're going to need to mute yourself because that's really tough to hear that sound. And it's echoey. Is somebody not near? Is somebody unmuted? Because we're getting a lot of echo back.
You can still hear me.
Yeah.
I'm muted. Okay, I'm going to leave and come back. And
okay, thanks, Janine. Other questions?
There was a question that was posted. Christina needed to leave. Ruby woke up, but she had some questions.
Okay.
Can you clarify? Hold on a second. Okay, we are. Okay. Can you clarify the difference between the merging and enduring patterns? Seems like both of them involve tuning more into others' needs than your own or ignoring your own. And that was one of her questions.
Yeah. So it's a good question. There's a lot. It's a big answer. The merging pattern, the energy is more about wanting to be connected to and connected with and pull energy from the other. And the enduring pattern is actually kind of the opposite. It's like it wants space. I want to feel my own autonomy. I want to feel my own self not merge with you. I feel suffocated by you. Okay, so that's just a short answer for now.
And then she said, also in Lionheart, we learned that we all move in and out of all of these patterns, but Kessler says we have only one primary pattern and one secondary one. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't think anything is a hard and fast rule, but I think, you know, everybody is every age, right? Nobody gets to go from 1 year old to 3 years old. You don't bypass any developmental stage. So we all have a little of everything, but we do tend to have a predominance of certain patterns. And I find that life circumstances, you could say, cultivate or exacerbate certain patterns within us depending upon the circumstances. So just to give a very brief example of that, you might find yourself very, very much an earlier developmental stage of maybe the merging pattern or being emotionally needy and being very, you know, being also very emotionally available for other people and not liking a lot of structure, but you keep your car pristine clean and nobody can touch it. And if anybody does anything to your car, you get really upset. You're really rigid around your car, but nowhere else in your life. So that's how I kind of see the patterns show up in interesting places and in different ways for all of us. So we all have all of it a little bit, but we do have predominant tendencies to how we react when we're in overwhelm. Like, you know your family, even if you don't know yourself, you know your primary friends and family, how they're going to react. Like, oh, don't say that to so-and-so because they'll get pissed off or they'll just like hide out for 3 hours. I mean, I just had a client yesterday who said, I just talked to, you know, I just told, you know, my friend that, you know, who is living with me for a little while I'm helping him out, that I didn't really want to pay for his food anymore. And he got so mad, he went into his room and he didn't talk to me for 3 hours. And I said, well, how do you know he was mad? Like, maybe he was just processing his own feelings about that circumstance. She said, oh, yeah, I don't know if he was mad or not. So, but she presumed he was mad, right? So that was what we would call a projection of the expectation of her own history being directed toward that person, her pattern. Other questions? I know, yeah. That was a lot. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Linnell.
I have a question about one of the exercises that was in the book, and it was in chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And it was the exercise where, wait, it was in chapter 6, well, 6 or 7, mm-hmm. where we pretend, you're supposed to pretend you're a squirrel mm-hmm. in a tree. Mm-hmm. And, I, you know, I was really identifying with the leaving pattern until that exercise. And then I was like, I can't, no.
That's all right.
I can't
do it. Don't worry about it. That there, you know... I wasn't wild about that exercise myself, but I thought I got the idea of what he was going for, but we're going to do some other things that I think will be more, make it more clear for you about the pattern.
Okay good.
Yeah. Okay. Lynn, did you want to say something else in there?
Well, Lori had a question in the chat, so I didn't know if she wanted to vocalize it or if she wants me to say it. Okay. So she says the graphic you used for inner critic balance with present moment awareness and heart, is the balance 50-50? I feel if we were living authentically, then the inner critic plays a much smaller role. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think that's right. The inner critic recedes more and more into the background, and we can function from that balance-centered place more frequently. And there will be times when it rears its head, you know, that's when we know, oh, hello, pattern, I hear you, I see you. Yeah, beautiful.
And if it's okay, if I can share something from what you just said and what I've learned through you, is that, you know, we need both. We need our heart to ask those questions and to feel into that, but then our brain processes that. So anyway, that's just what I learned from you. And there's a couple of questions that people have sent in about the recording. Yes, there will be. You will be getting the recording, and we'll send you an email early next week with that. And the other piece, too, if you want to save your own chat, so if you're private messaging with people, if in the chat area, if you look under where it says more, and you click on that, there is an option where you can click to save chat. And then when this call is done, you'll find it in your downloads, the saved meeting chat for Zoom. So I just wanted to pass along.
Thanks. Thank you, Lynn. And if people have other logistical questions, let's save them until the very end. Yep. And Lynn will be happy to answer them for you. Okay, so let's go now into, we're going to go into, just hang in there a little bit longer because this will be sort of our longest download of information in this particular class because we had to do the overview. So I want to talk for a few minutes about the leaving pattern, and then we're going to do some experiential exercises to try on the leaving pattern so we know what that actually feels like. So here we go. So take a deep breath. We're diving back in. Okay, so the leaving survival energy pattern. The wound is leaving the body, leaving the body. So you might find that you are a person who trips over your own feet a lot, or you know somebody who does that either. Like I have a friend who they're always hurting themselves because they bump into walls, they trip over their feet, they lose their keys, they can't find anything. These are indicators very much of the leaving pattern. It's hard to be organized. They might be, these are the people who tend to be also clutterers. Because they don't have a sense of space. They have too much stuff. It's hard to get rid of stuff. That also can be the merging pattern. People that they're collectors, they don't want to, because there's a way of trying to find a way to connect to the earth, to be grounded, to have stuff around us makes us feel more secure. But they are people who don't have a sense of their own body, of being in their body. Their gift is very spiritual. They're very intuitive. They're very creative people. They're very psychic people. And if they're people who are completely non-spiritual or who say, or they could also be scientists. They could be intellectuals. They could be people who really have highly developed intellects and brains. They could be an Einstein, or they could be they could be a mechanical engineer, creators, you know, architects, people who like to use their, who use their mind. They might not have any kind of spiritual proclivity at all, but they have a very highly developed creative side to their nature, inventors and scientists and things like that as well. So these are some incredible gifts, a highly developed intellect, oftentimes intuitive, spiritual, sensitive. I use this word a lot, but sensitive to the higher realms. Like these are people who will feel spirits or feel other energies or be healers or be people who are extremely sensitive to energy. They're creative, they're artistic, they're imaginative, they're comfortable in chaos. So these are why they can have clutter around them. They're comfortable in chaos. They don't need things to be in order. And they're very independent thinkers. I had a friend, my friend Hector, who he's a musician. And he would make a lunch date with me. Okay, Laura, let's go to lunch on Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'd say, great. Where are we going to meet? We'll meet at the little coffee shop down the street. I say, okay, great. So Thursday would come. I'd be at the coffee shop. No Hector. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, no Hector. 3 o'clock, I'd leave. I'd go, okay. And, you know, I'd call him up. I'd, you know, text message, no Hector, no sign of Hector. 3 days later, I'd get a phone call from him. So I just finished my album. I've been in the studio. And when are we going to have lunch? When are we going to have lunch? It's like, I finally stopped taking it personally. I was like, oh, Hector's in his creative mode. He's off cutting and making another record. I'm not going to hear from him. You know, it's okay. So a lot of these people isolate relationships from themselves because they're in their own imaginal world. They're not in their body. They're up in the creative upper realms. It isn't personal. These are their incredible gifts, beautiful gifts. So let's look at the survival strategy. So what happened in utero? In utero, the umbilicus is connecting this child to the mother. Now, what happens if this baby is an unwanted child? It's an unwanted pregnancy. Then there's an energetic disconnect. The food's coming in, but the energy of not wanting that child to be there is also there. So this sensitive child goes up and out of the body, even in utero, because up into the upper realms, even in utero, because that's where it's safe. So you can see the fear already in the eyes, like starts in the eyes here. So what happens is there's a developmental need to be in the body. The energy defense is to leave the body. I'm going to connect with you, my spirit guide, because you're much safer than physical embodied people because they leave me. They don't want me. When they're overwhelmed, when this person gets overwhelmed with anybody in direct connection with them, that's something they never learned how to manage. It wasn't safe when they did have it. So I'm out of here. If you come on to me too direct, too head on, too looking me straight square in the eyes, I'm leaving my body. I can't manage that. And what it looks like to the rest of the world is you become cold, you become fearful, you become detached. And because that's your way of creating safety for yourself. That's what I call the adaptive response or the defensive response. So the goal is to claim the body as a reference point and a refuge for the stresses of daily life to tolerate distress without fragmenting. Now, this is what I find really interesting. So here's what some of the beliefs are. Life is beautiful out here, out of my body. Over here, I'm going to make some music like Hector. You know, it's safe up here. You know, I'm going to fantasize and, you know, write a book, and I'm not going to connect with people. I'm going to take a hike by myself in nature where it's safe, where nobody's going to confront me with overwhelming energy. I'm going to hear the music of the spheres. I don't need to play music. I can hear it, you know, in my own mind. I'll be a writer and write symphonies. But inward, you know, closer in to the energy field is the critical mind going, just smack her, that'll shut her up. This is what happened. Why we had to get away from this is these were the messages when we were an infant, right? I don't want you, whether it was direct or indirect, the energy of I don't want you or you're stupid was all there. So the self gets fragmented. So how to get out of pattern? The survival pattern distorts your perception and your experience of reality limits your your potential. So your response is dictated by your pattern. It takes you out of present time where you now have better options. So we don't want to be spacing out. We don't want to have to leave our body when somebody's upset with us. We want to be able to stay present and say, hey, you know, I hear you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do these three steps, and here's how we're going to start it. We're going to ground and reorient it, and we're going to feel the frequency of your name in your core. So let's start with that. And what I want you to do is everybody stand up. I want you to just stand up. And you're going to, nobody's going to hear you because you are all on mute. And I want you to open your legs so you're in a nice wide stance with your legs about 2 to 3 feet apart, like a nice wide stance. And your arms, if you can see me, your arms are up overhead in a V. So your arms are like the shape of your legs in a nice V. And you close your eyes and you're just going to say your name out loud, really loud. Just say your name repeatedly. So for me, it's Laura, but you're going to say your name really loud, out loud. And then close your eyes and try to feel the frequency of your name inside your body. Just say it again and again and again until I tell you to stop and say it really loud. Your name out loud with your eyes closed. Feel the frequency of you, who you are in your body. And breathe deeply as you do it at least 10 times. Laura. So say your name. Arms up really strong. Make your body really strong. Make your body really strong as you do that. And now stomp your feet and keep doing it. Say your name as you stomp your feet. Stomp your feet. And stomp your feet loud and hard. Loud and hard. And now relax your arms. Drop your arms at your sides. And stay standing. I'm going to just sit down so you can see me on camera. You're going to start with your hands and your head. Bring your hands to the top of your head and squeeze and press down on your head. Press down on your head and press your face and press the whole shape of your head, then your neck. Press hard. Press onto your chest. Press onto your belly. Close your eyes and just feel yourself coming down into your body. Feel yourself coming down into your body. Press your butt. Press your belly. Press your thighs. Round over and press your calves. And breathe. And then the third step we're going to do in a minute. So now we're going to do an exercise. So just notice what you feel from doing that much. Just close your eyes for a minute. Have a seat. Close your eyes for a minute. And notice the difference in what you feel. Now, here's the next thing we're going to do. Don't worry if you don't remember everything. I'm going to tell it to you, and you're going to have 60 seconds to do all of this. Get up on your tippy toes, and you're going to walk as fast as you can through your house on your tippy toes. And then you're going to go find one place to sit down. You're going to sit down for 1 second, and then you're going to stand back up. And then you're going to go get your pair of socks out of your bedroom. And you're going to take them out and you're going to drop one of the socks on the, you're going to drop them on the floor. Then you're going to go to your kitchen. You're going to get a glass of water, but don't fill it up. Then you're going to go back to your bedroom and get one sock and then go back to your kitchen and fill up the glass of water, but don't drink it. And then come and sit back down with the glass of water and one sock in your hand. Go. You got 60 seconds. Walk on your tiptoes. Go someplace in your house. Sit down for 1 second, then come back. Get a pair of socks, drop them on the floor, go to the kitchen, get a glass of water, but don't fill it. Go to the bedroom, put on one sock, then go fill up the glass of water, but don't drink it. Then come back to the bedroom and get your other sock and come back and put it on. Fast as you can. Fast, 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 fast. Okay, time's up. Come back. Come back, come back. Have a seat. Notice what you're feeling. And now close your eyes. Close your eyes. And I want you to just notice what the air around you feels like. Close your eyes and just notice what the air around you feels like. And with your eyes closed, I want you to put your hand out in space and see if you can feel, where is your consciousness? Is part of you, are you in your body or did you go back out of your body? And if you're out of your body, where did you go out? And put your hand there wherever you kind of feel like maybe you went out of your body. And don't worry if you're right or wrong or if you're making it up. Just put your hand there and hold your hand there for a minute. And just hear what the voice might be saying. If there's a voice that goes with where your hand is placed, like maybe it says, you know, did you do it? I forgot half of it. And this is ridiculous. And whatever the mind is saying, just notice what the mind is saying. And now reach around with your other hand and see, is it another part of you, your consciousness, anywhere else outside of your body? And if it is, put your hand there. And notice what that voice might be saying. These are fragments of the self. Where are they in your energy field? Just wave your hand around until you feel like you might find yourself. And what is that voice saying? And keep your hands out there. And don't worry if it feels like you're making it up. It's okay if you're wrong. And maybe this voice is saying, oh, you're wrong. You're stupid. What was that all about? This is ridiculous. Laura made up these ridiculous, silly, stupid exercises. What's going on? Okay, now just take that hand. Turn your palms toward you. Keep them where they are in space. Turn your palms toward you. And I want you to imagine that you're holding some energy that is you. And bring it back slowly, one hand at a time, into your body, into your energy field, and into your body, into your head, or wherever it lives. Just breathe and slowly bring it into you. And notice what that feels like. And now bring a little compression into your head or into your chest or wherever your hands are. And breathe and bring yourself back into your body and press in your face, chest, belly. Okay. So what we're going to do now is Lynn is going to put us into some small breakout groups. We're going to have only about 10 minutes to do a little bit of sharing in a smaller group about what that little process was like. So she'll put us in those breakout groups. And then after those 10 minutes, you're going to see a little thing come up on your screen that says re-enter the room or something like that. And then you're going to click on that so you can come back into the main classroom. And we'll do some sharing about what this experience was like.
In the meantime, if you've not experienced this before, you're just going to suddenly go into another room. So, and there'll be a button for you to push that says join room. So here we go.
And Lynn, bring us back in about 8 minutes, okay? Okay, it might still be us. They might not be back yet, but that's okay. So, and Janine is there with us. So any other comments or thoughts about this while we're still waiting for the others?
I'm just realizing that for my anxiety, I blocked it so well that I didn't even know I had it. People tell me, oh, I'm on this med, I'm on that med. And I'm like, oh, not me, but my med was food. So when that wasn't my med anymore and I started feeling my anxiety, everything started to shift.
Yeah.
And what I thought I was, I'm not at all.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, making a big difference.
Yeah. That's great awareness. I love that. So, yeah. And that's a great point. When we start to feel our own feelings, we start to, you know, find out a whole nother level of our self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware that it's 1:30 right now, but I would love to hear just a very quick, like, closing remark or word or two from people, before we end, and people, I guess, are still returning, from their breakout rooms. But while we're waiting for them, before we do our closing remarks for today, let me just see if there's anybody else that wants to do a little share while we're waiting for the rest of the group.
I can share something, Laura.
Yeah.
Hey, hi everyone. I thought it was interesting how in my breakout group, everyone was really conscious of what maybe other people were doing. And like that didn't really cross my mind. So I didn't know that people were thinking about what other people were thinking, or I was just realizing that I wonder how much I actually think about like my surroundings instead of just like focusing on what I'm doing. Like, is there a deeper reason why?
Well, I actually love the point that you're making, because that's true embodiment, isn't it? The real freedom, like you said, it was fun for you, right? So this is what we're wanting to be, the gift, right, of embodiment, of enjoying being able to be in our body. And, you know, and interestingly enough, the later stage character structures are about becoming more sensitive to other people. So that's a great point that you brought that up. So you may be more of a tendency to have a later stage pattern than the earlier stage one. Okay, so I think are we all back now? Lynn, does it look like we're all back? Okay, so I would love to just, I know we're out of time, and I just would so love to hear more, but I want to do sort of an official closing, and then I know we didn't have really much more time for Q&A, so I'm happy to stay on for about another 10 to 15 minutes if anybody has a more question and answer that you'd like to do after we sort of do our official closing. I'm happy to be here for that. But I want to just say this to you, that we will be, I'll be getting an email to you in the next day or two with who your homework reader is going to be. You all have a syllabus that was sent in the welcome email, and with a couple written assignments to help you go deeper in the work. And, you know, we're going to ask you to really take this as deep as you want to grow. As much as you want to learn about yourself, go deep in the writing. There's not a lot of it, because, you know, I know we've all had enough schooling and homework and stuff, but I think it's going to be very self-reflective and fun for you to do, because you're going to learn about you from doing it. Then you're going to email that to your homework reader, and we want to encourage you to email that to your homework reader by Thursday of the week, you know, by Thursday of next week, so that your homework reader has time to review it, respond to it, and send it back to you before you have your small group meeting. So like I said, Kimberly and I are each going to take half of the group, and then we're going to, you know, be able to go a little deeper, because we'll have a smaller group configuration next week for an hour and 15 minutes. If you don't have the book, please get it right away and try to do as much of the reading as you can before next week. And then, you know, so that's how we'll do it. We'll alternate. So in between each masterclass will be an integration session. I will send you that information, who your homework reader and integration group leader is going to be, and you'll also get a Zoom link for that class for next Saturday. So let's just do a closing check out with a couple words or phrase about how you're feeling right now to sort of end our session today. So Pooja, would you start us off?
Sure. Yeah. I think for me, it was interesting to compare early stages to later stages. Like, I never thought about baby reactions to be comparative.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to be really brief because we're actually out of time. So, and then we can stay on a little bit longer, those who want to, but just a closing, like, how are you feeling? Just a few words, like okay, two or three words.
Mm-hmm. Content.
Okay, thank you. Chris.
I feel inspired.
Great, thanks. Angelica?
Curious.
Okay, Sarah?
A little still in the leaving pattern, a little scattered.
Okay. I'll do some more grounding for anybody who wants to stay on longer. Jill?
Curious how to solidify myself away from leaving. Into myself.
Okay. I'll talk about that more if you have time to stay on for a couple minutes more. Roma?
It was a real good look into a pattern, like a close look.
Just two, three words, what you're feeling, or one, even one word, what you're feeling.
Maybe a little bit scattered still.
Okay. Thank you. Jenny?
I just feel it's really helpful to learn the developmental stages.
And yeah, just one or two words of okay. Your actual feeling.
Very informative.
Okay. Yes,
very informative.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Lori?
Empowered and inspired.
Okay. Thank you. Martha?
I feel like Christopher Columbus on a discovery.
Thank you. Linnell?
A little confused and disconnected.
Okay. Thank you. Ritu? Didn't hear it.
Informed and incomplete.
Informed and can you put it in the chat? Didn't quite catch.
Informed and incomplete.
Incomplete?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And the 941, whoever that.
I felt relief.
Okay, thank you. Relief. 831.
I felt curious.
Okay, thank you. Janine.
Confused and curious.
Okay. Kimberly.
Connected.
Okay, thank you. Rajpal.
Curious, I would say.
Okay, thank you. Lynn.
I get to choose.
Okay. Jeanette?
Alive.
Okay. Gail?
Scattered and a bit anxious.
Okay. Scattered and anxious. Teresa?
Connected.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All right. So, and I feel, what's the word? I feel unfinished. That's what I feel, because so many people reported scattered and not quite grounded. So this is our official closing. So anybody who has a commitment and needs to go ahead and go. And I would like to do a little bit more grounding for those of you who would like to stay and who feel the need for that. Okay. So we'll just give a few moments for that transition and also for any Q&A. Okay, so you got a homeopathic dose of what the leaving pattern person feels all the time or a lot of the time when they feel overwhelmed. All right, so this is what happens. And what's great about it is it gives us some sensitivity to that. So let's do this now. Close your eyes. And if you feel scattered or ungrounded, put, wave your arm around your energy bubble, right, of your space. Wave your arms around there and find, where are you? Find where you are. Just put your arms out in your energy field and find where you are. And where you find yourself, put your hands there. They could be in the same spot. They could be in two different spots. And just feel yourself there. Okay, breathe and just feel yourself there. Good, very good. And once you notice where you are, very slowly turn your palms toward you. Turn your palms toward you. And keep them where they are in the space and feel the energy coming from your hands toward your head. And very, very slowly bring your hands back toward your body, wherever it could be, your head, it could be some other part of your body. Very slowly bring your hands back to your body, to your physical body. And you could say, seal the energy leaks where you left your body. Seal the energy leaks.
Seal the energy leaks.
And compress, press down on your physical body and feel yourself coming into your physical body. You were in your energy body. You grabbed the energy fragments. Press them into your physical body. And then from wherever you are, press your face, press into your face. Keep your eyes closed and just feel your body, your neck, your shoulders. Go slow and easy. Just feel and bring in the affirmation, it's safe to be in my body. It's safe to be in my body. Just tell your body, it's safe to be in here. It's safe to feel my body. It's safe to feel my body. And work your way down your body. And then when you get to your legs, I want you to open your eyes and look at your legs and look at your hands pressing into your legs. Use your eyes to see what you are doing. See what you are doing as you compress your body. See it and feel it and say it. It's safe to be in my physical body. Safe to be in my physical body. See it and say it. Look at your body as you do it. Look at your body as you press in and breathe deeply. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So anybody want to share about that? How are you feeling now? Those of you who felt scattered or ungrounded, how are you doing now? Yeah, Angelica.
Good. Thumbs up.
All right. Good. And it didn't take that long, did it? Just another couple of minutes. Good. Jenny, how about you? You said also, I think, ungrounded.
Oh, it's, I just feel much more present. Much Great. More present, yeah.
Good, good, good. Anybody else? Sarah, how about for you? And then Gail will get to you too.
It's scary for me to, I don't fully believe that it's safe to be in my physical body.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. This is.
I started to cry almost immediately once I said that, or as I was saying it, I could feel myself getting choked up.
Yeah. Yeah. This is new. This is really, new for you. So, remember the three-step trauma response that we learned in class, right? Look around. Is anything dangerous happening? Look around, right? And so see, is anything dangerous happening? Okay. And really actually do it, right? It actually is safe right now. And it might take some time for your cells to catch up to that, the truth of that. Gail, anything you wanted to say about this now?
Before, I felt like my head was like a balloon kind of hanging up out there. So it's much closer. Yeah. And my heart is not racing as fast. So
great.
It really helped a lot to do that.
Great. Great, great, great. Yeah, good. Anybody else? Linnell, I think
Hello?
You
want to say
that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Who is that?
Carol?
Yeah, Carol. Go ahead.
Carol?
Yeah.
Well, it was very interesting because this particular exercise didn't overwhelm me as much as something last night. And what I realized is when you said to say it's safe to either feel my body or be in my body, I felt this kind of a wave of sadness about what had happened yesterday and realized that I had left my body and was aware that I wasn't feeling totally present. And so this exercise actually helped me be more present from something that happened yesterday.
Great. I'm so glad that you were able to put that together. That's fantastic. And that's such a great example of exactly what happens through this work. Like, we think we're just fine. And in a way we are, because we've adapted, but this is an awareness of, oh my God, look at that. I really wasn't in my body. So we're really waking up to it. Even Sarah, what you shared, it's like, we're really waking up to the fact that, oh, wait a minute. I don't know that I really do believe that. So awareness is the first step to healing. Okay, Linnell, did you have something you wanted to?
Oh, I still feel spacey, but I think part of it is adjusting to this, just the way that we're doing things. I mean, I'm highly aware that there are not people in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels strange because I'm not used to doing Skype or any of those things. So it feels the artificiality of it is helping me to space out, I think.
It takes a little adjusting to learn in this way. It was a huge adjustment for me too. So thank you for just mentioning that. And it'll get more, we'll get more adapted to it over time. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Lynn.
I really appreciated this last exercise, well, the one with the sock in the water, because, and then the afterwards where you felt where you were. And I'd noticed on a few other exercises we did at the awakening, when you'd ask us to feel where we're at, and again here, it was always like there was this, nothing was there on the side, especially in the belly button, abdomen region. And but then you had us put our hands, and I could feel it once I had my hands, palms towards me, and really could feel so much that went into that second and third chakra area, which is where I've been really, you know, and that's why I said I choose at the bottom, because I realized that, so with the exercise, I chose not to do, not that I'm telling other people to do this, but I chose to do it the way I could do it and not feel scattered and not feel, because of the shape of my house and everything. I knew I would not be able to fulfill those requirements in 60 seconds, but so I did it. So I felt good about it. But for me, it was the I choose. And so I just, I'm elated that we did that.
That's great. So that's a nice reflection of the enduring pattern, right? Like where the suffocate, I got my choice taken away. I had to do what other people chose for me. So if all of you reflect a little bit deeply on how you reacted to the exercise, it's going to reveal to you about your pattern, something about your pattern as well. So now, question and answer. Anybody want any other questions? We can take a few minutes more for questions about this whole thing so far.
I had a question.
Yeah. Carol, go ahead.
Hello?
And then, go ahead, Carol, and then we'll do Angelica.
Okay. You talked about fragmenting and, you know, where you fragment into various pieces. And I'm wondering, how does a person recognize when they're in a fragmented state?
Well, I think just the way you just did, you know, like, oh, wow, I just realized I wasn't in my body, right? There's lots of ways that we do that. And for this particular pattern, it's being spacey, being forgetful, losing things, bumping into things, feeling disconnected from your body, feeling avoidant from other people. So there's lots of ways that we fragment.
Okay, that helps.
Yeah. Angelica?
Yeah, I was wondering, are we going to get to go more into depth of how to, like, recognize your own leaving pattern and how to ground back down, especially in relationship to others? Because I find that I'm, like, a big leaving when it comes to just my relation to others. And are we going to maybe review strategies to pull back in and just show up in relationship?
That's right. That's what the integration class will be about.
Oh, yeah.
Next week. Yeah.
Okay. I have to miss that class. So I was wondering, what's the protocol for when we have to miss an integration?
Well, you'll have that recorded just for your group. So that's unfortunate that you'll miss that, but that's where we will do that kind of thing, is in the integration sessions. And that's the reason for it, because you're absolutely right. We want to have strategies. We need strategies. We need to review, you know, how is this showing up in my life? Either, you know, in my response to other people who do this pattern or in myself. Yeah. Anybody else? Questions? Ritu, yeah. Ritu, yeah. Yeah.
So this is another basic question about the leaving pattern.
Ritu, can you put it in the chat? It's breaking up, so I'm missing most of your. Lynn, can you type in there to ask her to put it in the chat? Her question. Yeah, Roma. You're still on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So during the exercise, I really felt like I could really feel that whole sense of fragmentation and rushing around and anxiety and like almost like rushing and not getting anything done, and everything was all over the place and distracted. But after we did this grounding exercise, I'm feeling like I have no energy whatsoever. Am I not supposed to feel now like I'm in my body? I'm feeling completely depleted.
Well, you might be feeling that your body is tired. Yeah. You know, because when we do this process work, when we start to do this process work, it's a very different way of attuning to our energy system. And you might be noticing your body for the first time and how actually tired it is. So let's just trust that your body's tired.
Yeah, it feels like I just can't move.
I encourage you to take a nap.
Okay.
Jeanette, did you want to toss something in the pot? You're on mute still. Jeanette, you're on mute still.
I just wanted to let Roma know that's exactly how I felt when I first started doing this work. And this was in class and this is on Zoom. But all I can say is just take care. Self-care is so important. And you're going to find after today's things start to shift and your body may be tired, but your body is also saying, yay, she's finally listening to me. You know, and you become more and more in tuned with it and more connected to it. And then you will find not getting as tired as the way that the body is feeling today. That's all I'm saying.
That's great, okay. Jeanette. Thank you for sharing that point about self-care. I love that. Ritu, do you want to try it again? Or is your question in the chat? I know we're having a hard time here. Can you tell me, Lynn, what her question is?
Yep. Just go back up here. Crying out loud. No, my chat isn't.
Oh, let me see. I can probably get it open.
Yeah, it's, well, there we go. This is a basic question about leaving pattern. How do we know that we are using leaving pattern? I want to try to identify the places where I might be using this in my life. This will prepare for the integration class next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, great question. I think, again, keep an eye out for those times where we just spacing out, being forgetful, where you're not making eye contact with somebody that might be talking to you or tuning somebody out, where you feel really scattered or disorganized, things like that. I know for me, it shows up a lot in, like, I don't want to complete things. Like, I'll leave my dirty dishes in the sink and want to come back to them in an hour because I don't want to do it right now, you know, or like leave papers all over my desk that are unorganized. Those are examples of being in the leaving pattern. Like, I'm not completing little tasks, things like that, forgetting appointments or, you know, something like that could be. Is that answering you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Anybody else? Other questions? Yeah, Janine. Janine, go ahead.
Yeah, I was trying to unmute it. Yeah, you just mentioned something like the messy papers. It's around here. I've noticed I can see my chaos. But you said forgetting appointments. What about, you know, you have an appointment, but you purposely miss it? I mean, that's kind of isolation. So I'm trying to read myself, but not too much. I think I'm in a very delicate stage right now.
Well, first of all, it's great awareness. And, you know, like what Lynn was saying, I'm purposely choosing, right? You're making a choice, which is, that's good that there's awareness on it. And then the question would be, well, what's your motivation? And is it, are you using a different, it would probably, are you using a passive aggressive strategy there? It's very classic for this pattern and also a couple of the others to be very indirect to avoid confrontation. I'm going to just on purpose miss this so that I can avoid having to address this issue with you. So that could also be part of the leaving pattern. I'm not going to take that person's phone calls when they call me up. I'm not going to answer their text messages. I'm going to I'm going to be late, or I'm going to make up an excuse for why I can't meet you. You know, I'm going to get off the phone call because I'm telling you I have an appointment, but really I don't. I just don't want to be on the call anymore.
You know what? I really have to start writing my thoughts, because my thoughts aren't really that. They're really something else that maybe towards something.
Yeah, write your thoughts down and see what it tells you. Yeah.
Like, I really know what my problem is. I don't need to see you. I'm going to fix it.
Yeah, write your thoughts down. That's a good idea, and it'll give you some information. Yeah, Lori and then Angelica.
So I'm experiencing the eye contact thing, and what I've noticed that I do is when I want to speak my truth, I cannot make eye contact. Because the influence of the other people's expression, how they might tonally respond, makes me leave my body. So if I really want to get through, I can't look at the person I'm talking to.
So that's great awareness. And, you know, it's not a requirement to be able to do that, to sort of, you know, be more functional. I don't even want to say heal this pattern, but be more functional in this pattern. It's not necessarily a requirement. It's just great awareness that that's what you need to do.
And I think in society, it's like, oh, you're trained to, you got to look somebody in the eye when you talk to them, like for honesty or whatever. But that's absolutely when I'm not honest.
Yeah.
Well, I can't be honest and look people in the eye if I'm secure. But if I'm insecure, I can't look people in the eye.
That's great self-awareness. Yeah, thank you for that. All right, so we're going to just take one more question. Oh, Angelica, go ahead, and then we'll wrap up here.
Yeah, I guess one thing that was like the light bulb moment when we were talking about this pattern was how technology feeds a leaving person. like just like flitting from this social media to that. And I see myself doing it every day lately. And I'm like, oh, what is that? Why is it like I'm focused? I like what I'm working on. What is that thing in me that wants to just flit over and get distracted? It's
yeah. Yeah. Great awareness. Great point. Thank you so much for that. Good, good, good. All right. Well, thank you everybody for staying on and for your great questions and contributions. And we'll be in touch with you very soon. Keep an eye out for emails on next week's groups. And it was just lovely to be with all of you. And teachers, if you can stay on for a minute, they're gone. Chris is gone already. So, but Kimberly and Janetta and Lynn, if I can talk to you for a minute after, that'd be great. Okay, we'll see you all next week. You're welcome.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.